Sahana vavatu, sahanao bhunaktu, sahaviryan karava vahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om. Welcome to our new class. I'm delighted that we can resume our Tuesday evening Vedanta class for many, many years. Every Tuesday evening we've had a Vedanta class. It's been on hiatus for some time because of this pandemic. But now, with the help of the internet, we are resuming our Tuesday evening class in a virtual format with this webcast. So welcome to this webcast. The Tuesday evening class has always been very narrowly focused on Vedanta. And we've taken a number of wonderful Vedantic texts over the years. The text, as you know, the text that we'll be taking up now is called Advaita Makaranda. I'll introduce the text properly in just a moment, but let me set the context for this class. This text and the Tuesday night class is really not an introductory kind of program. Our Bhagavad Gita classes on Saturdays are definitely for everyone and anyone. The new meditation course that we're publishing each week is also for everyone and anyone. This evening Vedanta class in general and this text, Advaita Makaranda in particular, is meant for those who have already studied Vedanta properly to a moderate extent. This text in particular is not an introductory text. It's a somewhat advanced text, and I'll explain how it fits in the bigger scheme of things. Also, I chose this text as a follow-up to the Atmabodha text that we just concluded. If you have studied Atmabodha in those classes with me, then I think you'll be prepared for this class. If you haven't had an opportunity to study Atmabodha, then maybe you can go back and watch those classes and catch up, so to speak, so that you'll be able to benefit fully from this class. I'll also be using, we have a whiteboard here, which you'll see in just a moment. I'll be using it quite a bit for an advanced class. I find it necessary to write things out. And we'll start by, I don't need to write out the name of the text. You saw it on the internet before you saw this video. Advaita Makaranda. Most of you know Advaita meaning non-dual or non-duality. Dvaita is duality. Advaita, non-duality. The word makaranda is lovely. It means nectar. The nectar you would get from a flower, the nectar that ends up as honey, etc. That it's really quite a nice metaphor. Bees seek out the nectar inside the flower, and that nectar is very sweet, I suppose. And here, this text, Advaita Makaranda, the nectar of non-duality, here we seek out that nectar within ourselves. We are like the bees, so to speak. But what's different is the bees have to seek outside of themselves to find that nectar. We seek inside of ourselves. In fact, the nectar is inside the flower, hidden inside the flower. And in a manner of speaking, Satchitananda Atma, the truth of who you are, is hidden behind a veil of ignorance deep within yourself. They say in the heart. In fact, there's a nice metaphor. Heart, of course, means mind, buddhi, intellect. And an expression that's used in many commentaries is hridaya kamala. Kamala is flower, lotus in particular. So the lotus heart. And that lotus heart, you can imagine in deep inside the lotus, I suppose there's nectar, and bees would go inside that nectar, inside that lotus to retrieve that nectar. So we will be engaged in this text, Advaita Makaranda, going within the lotus heart. And again, lotus heart is symbolically representing your own mind. Why? Because your mind is where consciousness is manifest. The consciousness, which is your essential nature, is manifest in your mind. So that is the locus. So the mind represents the flower, and consciousness then represents the nectar that we seek. So like bees seek nectar in a flower, we are going to seek that nectar of non-dual consciousness, seeking it in the mind. Okay, I guess to introduce this text properly, let me go to the board. And introduce the author of this text, whose name is Lakshmi Dhara. He's also called Lakshmi Dhara Kavi. Kavi means poet. Lakshmi Dhara is his name. And we don't really know very well when he lived. Some scholars think he lived around the 11th century. Other scholars think he may have lived as late as the 15th century. We actually know relatively little about him. But really speaking, we don't need to know a lot about him. What we need to know is what he has taught. And what he's taught is very beautiful and profound, as you see in just a few moments. I'll be using a commentary in teaching this text. I used a commentary in teaching Atma Bodha. That commentary was not particularly helpful, in all honesty. This commentary, however, is by one Swayam Prakasha is his name. And I think he lived in the 17th century. And his commentary is extremely insightful. So I'll definitely be drawing upon the commentator. So I won't be teaching the commentary, but I'll be using his commentary and explaining this wonderful text of Advaita Makaranda. All right. Then. I've got notes scribbled all over this. By the way, the slides that we use here are available on our website. You can go to the website and get a copy of these slides. Okay, let's introduce the topic. I've already said that the difference between bees seeking nectar in a flower and us seeking the nectar of non-duality is that we don't seek the nectar of non-duality outside of ourselves. We seek it within. And that's for a very basic, profound reason. And that is, your true nature has always been non-dual. Your true nature has always been Satchidananda Atma. Your true nature, to use more common language, your true nature has always been divine. That inner divinity is an already existing, already existent fact about your true nature, but that fact is unknown for the great majority of people. So in our study of Advaita Vedanta, really that's a misnomer in terms, because the study is really not of Advaita Vedanta, which is a subject matter. The ultimate object of this study or self-inquiry, the object is your true nature. So it's a study of the self, an inquiry into the true nature of the self. The term I used in teaching Atma Bodha was Atma Vichara, Vichara, inquiry into the true nature of Atma, your true self. So then, since we are seeking what is already here now, what is the means for attaining, sounds funny, what is the means for attaining what you already have? Seriously, what is the means for attaining what you already have? The metaphor we saw in Atma Bodha was a lady who lost her necklace. So she already had her necklace. She was looking all over the house and all outside. She was looking everywhere for what she already possessed. What is the means for that lady to discover what she seeks? And the means is somebody has to tell her, hey, your necklace is hanging around your neck. Which the means of gaining what she wants are those words. Words, what you're seeking is already around your neck. Words can guide you to recognize what you already have, who you already are. In a more technical sense, words can convey jnanam, knowledge, and by conveying knowledge, those words remove the so-called veil of ignorance. So this, we discussed this at great length in our Atma Bodha class. We said your true self is already present, but obscured, partially obscured by the veil of ignorance. In order to remove that veil of ignorance, what removes ignorance is knowledge. Be very clear about this. We discussed it in Atma Bodha, it's so important. I want to say it once again. The problem is the veil of ignorance that covers your true nature. What removes ignorance is knowledge, and only knowledge. Tell me, will doing yogasanas, yogic postures, will that remove ignorance? Will practicing meditation remove ignorance? Making your mind perfectly quiet, focusing your mind, doesn't remove ignorance. Will prayer, doing puja, remove ignorance? All of these are important practices, don't get me wrong. All of those practices are important, not just important, all of those practices are essential. Not that puja is essential, some form of prayer is essential. But none of those practices in and of themselves remove the veil of ignorance that obscures your true divine nature. What removes ignorance is knowledge and knowledge alone. Jnanam eva mokshaha, an important statement attributed to Shankaracharya, the author of Atma Bodha. Moksha, freedom from suffering, is through jnanam eva, knowledge and knowledge alone. The discovery of your true divine nature as Satchidananda Atma brings about total, complete freedom from suffering. You can live in life without struggling and suffering every day. We'll see that in the first verse. That is freedom, that is liberation, that is moksha. So the lady needed to be told that the necklace she's looking for is already hanging on her neck. And here, when we come to Advaita Vedanta, you need to be told that your true nature, told is not the right word, you need to receive proper instruction instructions so that you can understand your true nature to be Satchit Ananda Atma, consciousness unborn, uncreated, boundaryless, limitless, utterly untouched by any kind of worldly troubles. In order to recognize, go back to in our Atma Bodha class, I used my guru's term, Pujaswami Dayananda's term. The problem, he, in his words, was self non-recognition. And if the problem is self non-recognition, the solution is recognition of your true nature, knowledge of your true nature, Atma Bodha. Bodha means knowledge. Atma Bodha, knowledge of your true nature. And how will you get that Atma Bodha? How will you get that self knowledge, the knowledge that removes the veil of ignorance? Well, Vedanta. And Vedanta is in the form of words. This is very fundamental, but really important. Vedanta is a set of teachings which are capable of removing that veil of ignorance by imparting this knowledge, and it does so by using words. It doesn't use anything else. It uses words. Words have the power to impart knowledge. You know, when you read a book about science or history, those words impart knowledge to you. So in technical terms, I don't want to get too deep into this, but we speak about pramanas. Pramana is a means of knowledge. Pramana, a means of knowledge. Right now, you are using sight, which is a pramana, a means of knowledge, to see me. You're using your power of hearing, which is a pramana, a means of knowledge for hearing what I say. So just as your eyes and ears are a pramana for seeing what's around you, the teachings of Vedanta, the words employed by Vedanta, comprise a pramana, a means of knowledge to enable you to discover your true nature. We can think of Vedanta as this whole collection of words, thousands and millions of words, or we can look at it in a very essential way. Many of you know, and we saw in the Atma Bodha study, that the central teaching of Vedanta ends up being three words. What are those three words? You know, tat, tvam, asi. Tat, that divinity. Tvam, you, asi, are. You are that, meaning that the essence of who you are is Satchitananda Atma, unchanging, limitless, vast, pure consciousness, which happens to be identical with the ultimate reality because of which everything exists, the ultimate reality we call Brahman. We'll get into all of those very profound teachings a little bit later. So the point here, and I'm beginning to develop the purpose of this particular text. What is the role of this text? Different scriptures and texts have different purposes. What is the purpose of this Advaita Makaranda text? Well, first of all, we said that words impart knowledge, and those three words, tat, tvam, asi, impart the ultimate knowledge which removes the veil of ignorance and makes you recognize your true self. Those words we saw in Atma Bodha. So now that would be a good place to pause and say, well, if you've studied Atma Bodha, suppose you have, most of you, you've studied Atma Bodha and you've used those three words, tat, tvam, asi, to discover that the consciousness that illumines my mind, the consciousness that reveals what's happening in my mind, the consciousness which for most of my life I've considered very ordinary because it's always there, it's nothing, it doesn't seem to be anything special, but with the help of the teachings of Vedanta, with the help of the Atma Bodha text, and with the help of those three words, tat tvam asi, I came to understand that tvam, you, meaning me, meaning my true nature as consciousness, that consciousness is tat, is the supreme reality, if we can use that kind of language. It is pure consciousness without boundary, without limit, without qualities, without features. It is identical to Brahman, the fundamental reality because of which everything exists. This is the big vision. This is the whole of Vedanta. This is the epitome of Vedanta, is that discovery conveyed by the Mahavakya. Mahavakya is a name for any statement that reveals your true nature. So tat tvam asi is one of several Mahavakyas, statements that reveal the truth of who you are. And we saw that teaching in Atma Bodha. So then the question now is, if you've already studied Atma Bodha, if you've already learned, if you've understood the words tat tvam asi, you understand, no problem, right? Tat tvam asi. It's not very complicated. A little bit of Sanskrit you can understand. And suppose you get it, that yeah, yes, it's true. The consciousness that's present in my experience right now, that consciousness is identical to the fabric of existence, Brahman, that because of which everything exists. Suppose you get that. And I think it's reasonable that many of you in our study of Atma Bodha made that discovery, that ultimate discovery, that ultimate truth of your limitless divine nature as pure consciousness. So if you've made that discovery, then why should we continue? Why should we study Advaita Makaranda? What's the point? Well, the point, there are many points here, and that is, having made that initial discovery, that initial recognition, to go back to the word we used before, to recognize that your true nature as pure consciousness is that so-called inner divinity. It is non-separate from Brahman, absolute reality. Having made that discovery, suffering might not have completely come to an end for you. Now, that's some confusion. We just got done discussing how the knowledge imparted by Vedanta is sufficient to remove the veil of ignorance that covers your true self so that you recognize your true nature as Satchidananda Atma, full and complete, and therefore you should be free of suffering. But it doesn't seem to work that way. For almost everyone, for a few rare individuals, when they first study the teachings of Vedanta, they get it. For the vast majority of people who study Vedanta, myself included, when you first get that glimmer of truth, that initial recognition, you continue to struggle and suffer in life because there is an obstacle, a number of obstacles. We can say that you have self-knowledge, Atma-bodha, Atma-vidya, but that self-knowledge is present in your mind, that recognition has taken place, but that recognition is accompanied by certain obstacles. I need to explain those obstacles. to have, first of all, just let me make sure that you understand what I mean by an obstacle. You gain the recognition through the teachings of Vedanta that the consciousness which is present in your experience right now is not ordinary by any means. The consciousness present in your experience right this moment is unborn, uncreated, unchanging, utterly untouched by any problem in the world, in life. It has no edge, no boundary. It is limitless. It is vast. It is all pervasive. Suppose you get that through our study of Atma Bodha or even before. You gain that initial recognition. That initial recognition is jnanam, knowledge. But that knowledge, I'll use the word jnana, that knowledge of your true nature is obstructed. It's obstructed by what we call pratibandha. Pratibandha means obstacle. And you gain, actually it's a nasty word. If you put it all together with some prefixes and affixes, it ends up being this long word. Sapratibandhika jnanam. Sapratibandhika jnanam is jnana which is obstructed by pratibandha, obstacles. There are obstacles to understanding. And even that means that even though you have that initial recognition that my true nature is limitless, unchanging, pure consciousness, having made that recognition, there are several obstacles in your mind which prevent you from enjoying the full consequences of this knowledge. We could say that you have knowledge, but you are denied the full phala, the fruits of that knowledge, the benefits of that knowledge. You can have knowledge, but be denied the benefits of that knowledge due to the presence of pratibandhas. So that nasty term, sapratibandhika jnanam, knowledge accompanied by pratibandhas, obstacles, is what almost everyone gets. There's a funny example. Over the years, I've taught Sanskrit to many people. Almost everyone I've taught Sanskrit to, they've had to study the same lessons again and again and again. Because the first time you studied a lesson, you get it, but you don't get it. And then you study it again. You get it partially, but you don't get it. So almost all of my Sanskrit students have needed to study again and again. Out of all of the students I've taught, exactly one got everything the first time. He was a brilliant young man, PhD in science, in high energy physics, brilliant young man. And whatever I taught, he got it the first time, and he advanced like anything. Rare, one in a million. And in the same way, it's rare, one in a million, that someone gains knowledge of their true self the first time without pratibandhas. The presence of pratibandhas are extremely common. What are those pratibandhas? There are three categories of pratibandhas. And these have some technical names. This is an advanced class, so we're going to use these technical terms so you get familiar with it. So the three main pratibandhas are... This pen isn't working well. Try another one. No, it's the board is... I think the board is not clean. a little oily. Yeah. So let's try this. Here we go. Pramana asambhavana. And yes, sir, kind of technical terms, long terms, but you'll get the sense. Pramana asambhava. I should write this over. I'm afraid you won't be able to see it. I'll be standing in front. So let me put it over here. And I have to get used to using this board on the with the camera. Okay. Pramana asambhavana. We just got done talking about pramana. Pramana is the teachings of Vedanta. And asambhavana, let me use the whole thing. Asambhavana is the feeling that it's wrong. The feeling that it's impossible. Sambhavana is possibility. Asambhavana, impossibility. And what that refers to here with the term pramana asambhavana is going to be the first of three. The first of three pratibandhas we're going to discuss here. Pramana asambhavana is doubts and confusion with regard to the pramana. The pramana is the teachings of Vedanta. So when the teachings of Vedanta say that your true nature is pure consciousness, and that pure consciousness is identical to the fabric of existence, Brahman. And if your response initially might be, is that really what Vedanta is teaching? Is that really so? What does that mean? Confusion or doubts or vagueness with regard to the pramana, the means of knowledge, the teachings of Vedanta, that asambhavana, doubts and confusion, and even the feeling that it's impossible, that is the first of the three categories of pratibandhas. The second of the three is prameya asambhavana. Pramana is a means of knowledge. Prameya is that which is to be known. That which is to be known is your true nature as Satchidananda Atma, which is identical with Brahman, the fabric of existence. So you can have doubts and confusion with regard to the teachings. That's pramana asambhavana. You can have doubts and confusion with regard to the truth of who you are. You see the difference. The first category, pramana asambhavana, is doubts and confusion about what Vedanta teaches. So it's focused on the teachings of Vedanta. The second category of pratibandha are doubts and confusion focused on your true nature. Prameya is that which is to be known. So prameya asambhavana are all kinds of doubts, confusion, vagueness, arguments in your mind which go against with regard to your true nature. Prameya is that which is to be understood through the teachings of Vedanta. That's the second of the three categories. The third of the three categories of pratibandha we discussed in Atmabodha. And that third category is called viparita bhavana. Many of you will remember that term. Viparita means opposite. So viparita bhavana is a feeling which is contrary to what you know to be true. Remember the example I gave? You know that the earth turns on its axis and the sun is stationary in the sky. But when you see the sunset, it sure looks like the sun goes down. In terms of experience, the sun is moving downwards. In terms of knowledge, the horizon is moving upwards. And of course, the truth is the horizon is moving upwards, but you have viparita bhavana, this habitual conclusion that the sun goes down. In the same way, we have so many habitual conclusions about ourselves. This is me. I am, you know, this person of flesh and bone. Whatever happens in my mind affects me. Another very, very common conclusion. These conclusions have been with us for decades. And when you first gain that recognition, all these deeply embedded false conclusions don't instantly go away. It takes time to remove them. So this is the third category of pratibandha, is viparita bhavana. Bhavana is a feeling which is viparita, contrary to what you know to be true. Just like thinking the sun goes down is contrary to what you know to be true, in the same way, thinking that you are your body, thinking that you're affected by what happens in your mind, these are examples of viparita bhavana. These are pratibandhas to self-knowledge, jnana. Now, finally, we can introduce the text by showing what is the purpose of this text, Advaita Makaranda. Remember, during Atma Bodha and elsewhere, we've discussed at great length the role of Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana in spiritual life, in Vedantic sadhana, practice. Shravana means listening. I hope I don't need to write all of this on the board for you. We've used these terms extensively in our study of Atma Bodha, so I'm not going to write them right now. Shravana is listening to the teachings of Vedanta, using those teachings to go within yourself to discover your true nature. Manana, I described as a process of removing doubts and vagueness. And Nididhyasana, we spoke extensively about Vedantic contemplation. We said Nididhyasana was specifically to remove this viparita bhavana. That those are the conventional roles of Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. And all introductory, watch this carefully, all introductory texts say that Shravana gives you knowledge, Manana removes doubts, and Nididhyasana removes viparita bhavana. That's taught by all introductory texts, introductory Vedanta texts. All advanced Vedanta texts teach it very differently, because what they teach is it's not Shravana that gives you knowledge, it's the words tat tvam asi. They get very, very focused on that fundamental principle. The words, the Mahavakya tat tvam asi, imparts knowledge. Not Vedanta in general. Tell me, with so much of Vedanta is like this panchakosha we talked about, and the stula sharira, sukshma sharira, karana sharira. Tell me, will studying all of that make you enlightened? No. But that's Vedanta. There's a lot of Vedantic teachings which are not directly focused on giving you self-knowledge. What is directly focused on giving you self-knowledge is the Mahavakyas, like tat tvam asi. So advanced texts do not say that Shravana gives you knowledge. Advanced texts say that the Mahavakya, Tattvamasi, and the others give you self-knowledge. Then, what is the role of Shravana according to these advanced texts? Well, here we go. According to the advanced texts, the role of Shravana, now I'm going to replace this 1, 2, and 3, the role of Shravana, I'm going to have to get some better markers. The role of Shravana is to, I just try this. I think the board is also some kind of grease on it. Oh, there we go. That's better. The role of Shravana is to remove pramana asambhavana. Notice in introductory texts, the role of Shravana is to impart knowledge. In advanced Vedanta texts, the role of Shravana, knowledge is imparted by the Mahavakya, Tattvamasi, and the role of Shravana is to remove the first of these three kinds of pratibandhas. So Shravana removes pramana asambhavana. You go very deeply and analyze the teachings of Vedanta so you know exactly what they say, you know exactly how they work, and through that very deep analysis, that's the analysis that you find a lot in the Brahma Sutras and other technical texts, through that very deep analysis of the teachings of Vedanta, you remove any last shred of pramana asambhavana. You won't have any doubt or confusion about the pramana, about the teachings of Vedanta. Then, manana is not just in general removing doubts, but according to all advanced texts, the purpose of manana is to remove prameya asambhavana. So not doubts in general, but doubts about your true nature as pure consciousness, boundaryless, limitless, non-separate from Brahman. So any doubts, confusion, or vagueness about your true nature, the prameya, that which is to be understood, so all the asambhavana, any doubts or confusion about prameya, about your true self as Satchidananda Atma, is removed through manana. And then the last of the three practices was nididhyasana. And nididhyasana, exactly as we learned in Atma Bodha, no change here, nididhyasana is specifically for the sake of removing viparita bhavana. I gave the example of watching the sunset, and as you're watching the sunset, you picture yourself on this huge globe tilting over backwards. That's an example of contemplation. If you do that for 40 nights in a row, you watch the sunset, and as the sun goes down, you imagine yourself on this huge globe tilting over backwards. You imagine that you can see the horizon is moving up, and after doing that contemplation 40 times, you will have removed the viparita bhavana, the habitual wrong feeling that the sun goes down. Viparita bhavana is removed by contemplation. In the same way, is nididhyasana, Vedantic contemplation, removes habitual identification with your body and mind. And I'm not going to speak further about it because now we can show the purpose of this text. The purpose of this text is manana and nididhyasana, not shravana. Shravana is an analysis of the teachings of Vedanta. That shravana is done in the Brahma Sutras and other sophisticated texts. This Advaita Makaranda is focused specifically on manana and nididhyasana, which means the process of removing prameya asambhavana any doubts or confusion about your true nature as Satchidananda Atma. And secondly, the purpose is Nididhyasana, Vedanta contemplation, for the sake of removing Viparita Bhavana, habitual identification with your body and mind. And these are the final two pratibandhas, obstacles to gaining the full fruits of these teachings. As I've said, introducing this topic, initially, knowledge comes along with obstructions. Meaning, you understand your true nature as Satchidananda Atma, but you continue to struggle and suffer in life due to the fact that your understanding is obstructed by these pratibandhas. When these pratibandhas are removed, all three, that then allows you to enjoy the fruits of these Vedantic teachings, of this Vedantic wisdom, the fruits of self-knowledge, which is total freedom from suffering. Okay. I hope you're able to see that board. I'll check the recording later, and we'll make any adjustments that might be needed. Okay, let me just summarize. That's what we've just been through. I shouldn't apologize. This is an advanced text, and so we need to know what we are trying to accomplish in our study of this advanced text, the Advaita Makaranda. So now we know. Our goal is to practice manana for the sake of removing prameya asambhavana. I'll let you look at that again. So our goal then is using manana to remove prameya asambhavana, any doubts or confusion about your true nature as Satchidananda Atma, and also in this text using nididhyasana to remove viparita bhavana, habitual identification with your body and mind. Now, before we begin the text, let's make an important observation. What we've just been through is really complicated. I admit it. This is really complicated, what we've just discussed. And there is a tremendous irony here. And a tremendous irony is the truth we seek is perfectly simple. Consider this. The more complicated something is, the harder it is to understand, right? To understand computers. Computers are complicated. But even to understand a blade of grass, if you put that blade of grass underneath a microscope, you see all those cells. Then under a more powerful microscope, you see what's going on in each of those cells. Under an electron microscope, you see more complexity. That simple blade of grass is infinitely complex. And therefore, to completely understand that ordinary blade of grass is an infinitely complex journey of discovery. It's complicated. Look at how different our process of Vedantic inquiry, Atma Vichara, self-inquiry is. We're inquiring not into a blade of grass. We're inquiring into Atma. What is Atma? Consciousness. What is consciousness? How many parts does it have? How many features does it have? How many, does it have cells? Does it have parts? Are there parts inside of parts, inside of parts, inside of parts, like in that grass? Consciousness has no complexity. Zero complexity. We use that word nirguna, having no qualities or features. Ultimately, your true self, Satchidananda Atma, is nirguna chaitanya. Chaitanya, consciousness, which is nirguna, having no features or qualities whatsoever. Means it has no complexity, zero complexity. Now you can appreciate the irony. To understand a simple piece of grass, it's infinitely complex. So it could be a big study to understand it at every level. Atma, consciousness, has zero complexity. Therefore, it should be the simplest thing to understand. And really speaking, when you understand Atma properly, it is perfectly simple. Truth is simple. Truth is simple. Ignorance is complex. I love this observation. Truth is simple. The truth of your true nature, Satchitananda Atma, it's perfectly simple. Nirguna Chaitanya, no parts, no features, no complexity. What makes this process of self-inquiry so difficult has nothing to do with Atma. What makes it so difficult is the complexity of our ignorance. And the complexity of our ignorance is something we've built up over our lifetimes. Starting as children, we get identified with our bodies and minds. We get identified with our families, with our friends, and then expands and expands. As children, we start thinking that toys and cookies and ice cream are the source of happiness. And then as we grow up, this confusion just builds. So when we're grown up, then instead of thinking that toys and cookies are the source of happiness, now it's fancy cars and new television sets and new phones and fancy meals are the source of happiness. Our ignorance builds through a lifetime. The number of wrong conclusions we make in life is cumulative. Every day of our lives, we make more and more and more wrong conclusions. All those wrong conclusions accumulate in our minds, leading to this tremendous complex of ignorance, leading to the final point. The truth we seek is so simple, but the ignorance we have to remove is so complex, and because the ignorance we have to remove is so complex, we need the complex teachings of Vedanta, the more advanced teachings of Vedanta. So let's be very clear. The advanced teachings of Vedanta are not needed to discover your true self as Satchitananda Atma. That's actually a very simple recognition. It's a recognition that many of you made during our study of Atma Bodha or even before then. That glimmer of truth, that initial recognition that you are independent of your body and mind, you are simple, unchanging consciousness. The consciousness that illumines the activities of your mind, that initial discovery is jnanam, and that is very simple. If our minds were not cluttered with all this complex ignorance, we wouldn't need all these sophisticated teachings of Vedanta. Fact is for most of us, our minds are filled with all these wrong conclusions and complexity. And let me make a final observation here. I'll just share with you this anecdote. When I was studying Vedanta with Pujya Swami Dayananda in a 3-year-long course, residential course he conducted, this is in the late 1980s, towards the end of the course, I came to this understanding that I knew my true nature as Satchidananda Atma, but my knowledge had so many pratibandhas. I recognized that. I recognized how complex my wrong conclusions were, and I realized that this is kind of an interesting observation. I came to recognize that my own intelligence led me to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into layer and layer and layer of complexity, and my own intelligence made my process of spiritual growth more difficult, in all honesty. In American English, we use an expression to overthink something. Well, I was really good at that. I thought and thought and thought, and I thought myself into a corner. I got myself so confused, so frustrated, and I got angry with my own intelligence. At one point, it got so bad, I prayed to God, "Oh God, please give me a simple mind that doesn't have all these doubts and confusions, a simple mind that doesn't keep thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, a simple mind that can appreciate a simple truth." That was my prayer back then. Well, as you can imagine, the fact is that our minds are complex, and that complexity is a fact we had better deal with. To deal with the complexity of our minds, to deal fully and completely with the complexity of our ignorance, we need the sophistication of the teachings of Vedanta. To get that initial understanding, that initial recognition, we don't require all of this. But to completely remove all of these pratibandhas, all of these obstacles that come in the way of appreciating your own innate fullness, your own innate divinity, to remove those pratibandhas, deeply rooted pratibandhas, which are part of this complex of ignorance, to remove those pratibandhas, we need the sophisticated teachings of Advaita Vedanta, and that is exactly what we find in Advaita Makaranda. So in our next class, this is a very elaborate introduction, but a very necessary introduction. In our next class, we'll begin the text, and we'll continue in that way. Before we conclude, I'm supposed to say, at the beginning of each new class, I'm supposed to say that if you are a regular student watching these classes regularly, we request that you make some donation. The amount of donation is whatever you think is appropriate to make some kind of donation. I won't be mentioning this again, so just to mention this at the beginning of our first class. I look forward to continuing the study of this text with you, and we'll continue next Tuesday evening. We'll conclude each class with a prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchid dukkabhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritangamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Tat Sat.